So today I'm joined by Chris Venables for this latest episode of the Getting to Know podcast. With a bit of a difference, obviously, in the current quarantine conditions, we're doing this over Zoom. But I'm very grateful to you, Chris, for finding the time to have a chat. And yeah, I'm looking forward to helping people, well, and myself even, get to know a little bit more about your journey and your career in football. How things are going? Well, you're saying, you know, you've been keeping as busy as possible in the current conditions. Everyone's all right, and that's the most important thing at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, been keeping as busy as possible, but like you say, it's you know, everyone's health is the first and foremost thing, isn't it, at the current time. So you know, we've been everyone in my house and my immediate family and everyone else has been fine and well, so hopefully that continues. And obviously best wishes to everyone else who's you know, has either had it or is struggling, you know.
And just to go to turn to your career, which is why we're here today to discuss. I mean, let's go back to the very beginning, I guess, of your time with football. What's your earliest memory of football as a person? I mean, it was as a kid, even. You know, what was the? Do you remember the first time you kicked a ball and played?
Yeah, well, I used to play just at home with my dad. But the first sort of memory of football, as such, I joined Caersphilly under-9s at the age of, I'm not sure if I was nearly five or I was actually five, but it was about 5 years old. We joined the under-9s. I used to have a manager there called Stan, the chap was called, and myself and Ross Stevens, who you'll know from the Welsh Premier League, played for a lot of clubs. Me and him joined at the same time, and we were the two youngest in the team. I don't think for the first season we played at all because we were only, like I say, about five years of age. But we used to go and go to all the games and be subs. And then I think the next year then we actually started playing some football, but that was at Caersphilly. So we started from an early age, to be fair. That's my first memory of being in a team and of playing football, really.
And for kids, obviously, you know, they play football because they enjoy it more than anything else. But at what point did you sort of realise that actually I'm quite good at this, and maybe this could be something which you've gone on to do? You know, you've had a career out of it in a way. Do you remember a moment where you thought, you know, actually I could do this?
I think it's probably, you know, I always enjoyed it as a kid. We had quite a successful junior team there at Caersphilly. We won the league and so forth, which was then the Severn Valley League in Mid Wales. We had a Shrewsbury Town scout coach from the, it wouldn't have been academy then, it would have just been called the Centre of Excellence, I believe it was called then, come to my my primary school just to put on a coaching session. I was one of two boys in my age group in that school. It was a very small school. And he did a coaching session and obviously coached me play then. And then he invited me over to Shrewsbury for, I'm guessing what was like a trial for the Centre of Excellence there. I ended up staying there then. That was, I think, at the age of 9.
Okay.
And then I stayed, actually, I went through the Centre of Excellence programme there at Shrewsbury then and ended up leaving school to go and do an apprenticeship there. So that was, I was there in total for about 9 years, but that would have been my first kind of, you know, indication that I was decent, I suppose, you know, at playing. So I would have thought it'd be 9 in primary school, yeah.
Oh, it's interesting how things turn out, isn't it? I mean, did you think then maybe that, you know, in those years that, you'd go on to be, you know, obviously you're 34 now and you're still playing to a high level and you've achieved so many great things. I mean, did you ever think that would be realistic? Because obviously you hear a lot about young players who have those experiences that you had at a young age but never end up playing football.
No, I don't suppose I did think about it too much then, to be honest. I think you just enjoyed it. You were always hoping that you'd be able to go full-time, I think, through the Centre of Excellence. When we trained on like a Thursday night, you'd see the older age groups. And obviously parents there would become friendly and talk. And the hope was always that you'd be able to go full time from school and, you know, and get a scholarship as such. I didn't really see much past that at that point in time, to be fair. That's all I wanted to do. And then, if you'd have asked me then, would I still be playing at 34? I don't think I thought about it much, but I would have thought, I would have hoped I would be.
And it was interesting, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, you put it on Instagram when you started out, obviously, at Caicedo in 2003, 2004. There was an issue of World Soccer magazine, wasn't there? And I won't spoil the story. Do you want to tell us what it was in that magazine that you found quite interesting? And I quite enjoyed it, actually, seeing it.
Yeah, so that interestingly was given to my dad, that magazine. I think I'm not even sure who gave it to him. It was somebody at Caicedo, I think, at the time. But they bought this World Book of Soccer for 2004. And then obviously spotted me in the magazine. And like I said, they gave it to my dad, who then passed it on to me. but it was one that I just found as I was sorting through things at home, doing the jobs now that people are, you know, you end up doing sort of looking through old things and finding stuff as you go around doing your jobs whilst we're in quarantine. But it was an interesting write-up, and I had a flick through it then, and it's really interesting to see what players were, you know, in the team of the seasons for the Premier League and all that sort of stuff. I just thought it was really interesting to look at who was emerging then as sort of newcomers for those seasons, and just happened to be that, you know, I was one for Wales. And then obviously Cristiano Ronaldo was the English one. I just thought it was really interesting that, similar ages, and just a little snapshot of going back in time as such.
Mm. And obviously playing for Caicedo then, what was that transition like for you, from obviously being in the sort of scholarship situation with Shrewsbury to then go and play in a men's league? Because obviously we see nowadays, you know, the players that come from pro clubs on loan to the Cymru Premier and the benefits they have from it. How much did that benefit you at the time?
It was interesting at the time. Yeah, I played reserve team football for Shrewsbury, and obviously under-19s as well. But I hadn't played in the Welsh Premier obviously before. So when I came out on loan, it was a completely different type of football to what I was used to playing. But it would be a lot different type of football in the Welsh Premier League then than what it is now. So it did help me. But to be fair, when I went out on loan there in the November, I never actually went back. I trained, obviously, stayed training full-time with Shrewsbury, and I saw the season out in terms of the training, but I never went back to play for them again. I actually went on loan until the end of the season and then ended up staying there. So once I left and made that, you know, jump across to play for Caicedo, so that was the last I sort of played competitively for Shrewsbury, to be fair. But I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the competitiveness of it and being a part of a team. And it was just, a new experience for me then, coming out of, like I said, under-19s and reserve team football to play an actual competition, which really matters, I suppose. And it was really interesting to join a team of lads that I did join, who were also together. I'd not seen that before, not been part of that before, other than, you know, when you're growing up as such, and it's different then. They certainly had a bit more togetherness than they did have, or than I did have at coming through the system in Shrewsbury.
And obviously, it's where you started out as well. You know, you said, as you said earlier, you'd played there as a five-year-old for Caicedo, so special for you in a way to be able to go back there. And obviously, had some success there shortly afterwards as well. It was one of your top five moments that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, was to win the League Cup there. But in general, how much did that time there, so in the whole, help you as a player, do you think? And what are the standout moments for you?
It helped me as a player because, like I said, when I'd grown up at Shrewsbury, I didn't have... you don't really tend to have coming through the ranks there, like older players to sort of call upon for support and to give you advice and all those sorts of things. You very much, as an academy and during the scholarship period, there weren't really relationships with first team players. They weren't really interested in looking to help out the younger lads there. There wasn't that kind of environment at Shrewsbury at the time. Whereas when I went into the team at Kerseus, I instantly had, you know, experienced players there who looked out for me, gave me advice, and probably settled me down, I think, a little bit as well. And that really helped me. Some really inspirational characters in that changing room, and you know, the likes of Colin Reynolds, a league record appearance holder, Hugh Clark, who was another one, Andrew Thomas, another one. They're all in the top 10 record appearance holders for the Welsh Premier League. Graham Evans, who was you know, one of the best strikers to have played in the league. There's so many good characters in that changing room that I could call upon for, you know, support, advice, you know, giving you knowledge about other teams and just how, you know, how I needed to probably adjust to playing in that league. I was pretty raw at the time, and, you know, my attitude, although it was good towards football, my, you know, my temperament on the pitch wasn't great. And you just need to, you know, sometimes an older head to steer in the right direction. I had plenty of that at Kerseus, and a lot of players in that team had a real effect on how I've probably turned out as a player.
Absolutely. And in terms of, obviously, that cup final for you, what was that like as an experience? And obviously you played a key role in it, but where did that sort of set you up in terms of realising that you could obviously compete at this level as well? Because as you said, you were quite raw as a young player at the time. But does that sort of an experience sort of settle you down and say, no, I'm a cup winner now, or I'm a trophy winner, I'm, you know, I've got something that I can go on and build on here?
Yeah, the trophy win came two or three seasons into my time at Kerseus, in fairness. It didn't come just straight away. I was having fairly positive feedback when I started in the league. I was putting the team on my on the first time I was available to play, and I never came out of the team then. I never had many sub appearances. I think only one or two for Kerseus that when coming back from injury, you know. So I was put in the team, and there was trust placed in me pretty much from the get go. So I had confidence, I suppose, in how I could how I was playing. But the cup win, I wasn't heavily involved in the actual cup final day. I was involved in all the run up to it, but I dislocated my shoulder about 2 weeks before the final. So I, under doctor's advice, I wasn't really supposed to be playing as such. But I went on the bench, and I came on in extra time, and it went to penalties. I then took a penalty and scored, which was good. But that's why it was more of a special moment for me, really. That, you know, I wasn't directly involved in most of the game, but the feeling that I had after the game, I was so that I belonged to not the club, but it was such a good team spirit and team feeling. I didn't really mind that I hadn't played as long as we won, and it was just great to see, you know, all the club pull together, and the scenes after were fantastic, because we beat obviously Real, who at that time were a far bigger club than what we were. So yeah, it was a great, fantastic day.
And what? Obviously, because the situation so good was, I would say perfect for you, I guess, but it was a nice situation for you at Kaisos because of your ties to the place anyway, and the way you'd obviously developed there as a senior player as well. So what then made you think that you wanted to move on, sort of thing?
Things slightly changed there, to be fair. I think as I left, Mickey Evans, who was the manager of Kerseus when I first arrived there, and for the whole time that I was there, he'd announced that he was going to take a step back from the club in terms of management, or, you know, being the actual manager. He'd still be involved, but not the manager. And then a good friend of mine, Hugh Clark, who was playing centre half at the time, he'd left and gone to Newtown at the time. I was just approached really by Welsh born and left. And I just felt that I had four seasons there, and four decent seasons. And at the end of that fourth season, I was selected to play for the Wales semi-pro team in the Four Nations tournament up in Scotland. And Terry Boyle was involved in the coaching in that team, just assistant manager to Tony Bennett. And he was assistant manager at Welsh Bull for Tommy Morgan. So he had a big sway in them, you know, having worked with him. I thought, you know, his coaching was really good. I really enjoyed, you know, so working with him. Dog's going past. Hold on a second, I'll just...
Right.
I really enjoyed working with him when I was in the Wales team. And I thought, you know, it's an opportunity to go and work with him again. And that's what really, you know, sort of pushed me over the edge to leaving Kersuth.
And you mentioned the Wales C there. The selection for that was a bit different to what it is these days as well, if I understand it correctly. I think the National League players were sort of involved as well. So it's a big deal to, you know, it's a big deal now to be able to get into the squad, but it was a very big sort of demonstration of how good you were if you were in that side back in those days as well. So it must have been, you know, I know obviously haven't been on camp with you for the last two, how much it meant to you to be involved, but it must have meant a lot to you back then as well as a young player too, to be involved with really the best Welsh players outside the Football League is what that team was.
Yeah, no, it was huge for me at the time. I was still relatively young. I was 21 when I played my first games, in the Four Nations there in Scotland. And there was only probably, I think, six or seven maybe Welsh Premier League players out of a squad of nearly 20. And obviously, to play for Kersuth and to get into that squad, who were a good side in the Welsh Premier League, but more of a mid-table side, who weren't a Rhyl or a TNS or a Bangor, you know. That was a real privilege to play in that team, and yeah, and I was obviously over the moon to be selected for that. I met a lot of players during that camp that, again, you know, probably changed the course of who I am now, I guess, in terms of football. In terms, that was the first time I'd ever met Rhys Griffiths, who was selected to play that year as well. And he, you know, there's probably one person that I would single out to that changed who I am in football in terms, and probably outside football as well, really, and he would probably be that guy. So it was a big trip for me, and a really big deal to be selected, and I really, really enjoyed it.
And another one of those sort of moments, I guess, that maybe as a youngster you might not have thought you'd get to experience, but something that, you know, not many players have experienced since either, you know, to have those sorts of encounters. I'm trying to remember the teams he played now, but he played some quality sides, you know, coming from the Cymru Premier at the time as well, you know. So it's whereas at the moment, obviously, you play in England, you played a variety of teams then, didn't you?
We played quite a few fixtures. Obviously went on then to play under 23s as well, and we played the Finland under 21 team and the Italian under 20 team, but they were their national teams. There were some very, very good players in those teams. So they were great experiences for all of us.
And obviously your first stint at Aberystwyth came afterwards, and your first taste of a Welsh Cup final as well. A competition that had gone to be very special for you for a number of reasons. Obviously you'd win it a few times as well. But there's you know, I'm a bit of a romanticist, but I love the Welsh Cup in general. Does that final feel different to you, you know, as a first one, for example, first Welsh Cup final, compared to the first final you'd had previously for Kersuth?
It did. We had it was very similar to Kersuth Aberystwyth. We had a real togetherness. They had a nucleus then of local lads who got on really well, and me and Graham Evans at the time signed for Aberystwyth, and Colin Reynolds, actually, all three of us from Kersuth. And I know Graham and Colin knew some of the Aber boys before signing, that they played with previously. And we fit into that really well. We fitted into the squad really well. It was a similar feel, to be fair, when we went to that Welsh Cup final with Aberystwyth. You know, we wanted to win it very, very badly, and just came up short on the day to Bangor, to be fair. But it was, very, very similar feeling to the Kersuth final.
And it was played in a town that you'd become very familiar with over the following years as well, obviously going to Llanelli. Before we get on to, obviously, you going there, I think this is one of the things that people don't realise about maybe the Welsh game so much is, you know, obviously you live on the other side of the country to Llanelli, but you were going there to train and play and stuff like that. So it's a massive commitment for someone, you know, that doesn't live in that sort of area to go and play for a club like that, because, you know, you must do so much sort of travelling just to fulfil the commitments that you need to fulfil. So what made you think, apart from the fact that they were a good team and they had great players and so on, you know, what made you decide that you wanted to make that commitment rather than maybe, you know, you had other good teams that were quite nearby, I guess, as opposed to going to Llanelli?
At the time, Llanelli were one of the top teams. Probably, you know, in the league, it was TNS and Llanelli when I signed there that were the two title challenges, if you like. Obviously, Bangor not far away as well. And then we had, you know, Will and Neath and things. But Llanelli were a top side. I just thought, if I'm going to go and do, you know, like I said, there's travel and things like that involved, it made my sort of personal life a little bit more difficult because you've got to put so much more time and effort into traveling to down to South Wales rather than just getting mid Wales. But I just thought that was my opportunity really to play for one of the better big clubs, you know, in the league at that time. And as I said, in previous comments there, I was quite close with Rhys Griffiths after the Wales semi-pro trip that we went on. I just kept in touch with him, and I remember speaking to him a few times before going there. And he was a big factor in that as well. And I just thought, you know what, this is probably my time to go and do this now. If I'm never going to do it, I'll just do it now. And that's what made me sort of take the plunge, really, and go and commit to signing there, I suppose.
You know, obviously you mentioned Rhys as a key figure for you, I guess, in persuading you to go there. But as you mentioned to me, you know, the other week, there was an other players there who really impressed you, and not necessarily those that were in their prime either. Maybe some players that had been, you know, good players elsewhere, but coming towards the end of their career, but still very good. So can you just talk me through that squad and, you know, how special it was and the talent that was there?
Yeah, I think at the net, it was the first time in the Welsh Premier League. I've said it at three other clubs before, but it was the first time that we had a squad of players, but of equal strength almost, like, throughout the squad. In the smaller teams, or the ones with lesser budgets, I suppose, you tend to have your starting 11, and then possibly, you know, and then your bench players, a squad or whatever, or some that are in there, the reserves, and come along on the bench and things like that, you know, when you've got injuries and suspensions. But at the net, there was a squad of 18, 19, 20 who were all equally as capable as each other. So yeah, it was the first time I was looking around at changing room. You don't know if you're definitely going to start, and you've got competition for places across the pitch. And that's what it was like at Llanelli. Every player had their own qualities, you know, and has played, clearly was capable of playing and starting every week. So that was my first feel of what it was like to be involved in a really strong squad. But like from back to front, every position was filled with a good player. You know, Andy Legg was playing left back when I first arrived. So we all know, you know, the kind of career and qualities that he brings and career he's had. And Steve Jenkins, the assistant manager then, who'd obviously played for Wales many times as well. I played right back, but also had Lee Phillips, who was, you know, a legend himself as well. Who played right back. Stuart Jones and Wynn Thomas as a centre half pairing, who were as good as any in the league. So right through the team, you know, Rhys Griffiths was our number nine. He was the best in the league. Jason Bowen, who we discussed the other week, as a right winger, who was just, you know, awesome player, coming to the end of his career, but still, you know, absolutely quality, you know, and that was just, you could go for every player individually almost and say similar things about everyone. And that's what made the squad and the team so strong.
What does that do for you then as a player? Because, you know, maybe in other squads you haven't had that feeling where I might not start here, so to speak. I'm not saying you did or didn't, but there was probably more pressure in this squad for you to perform to get into the team than there had been in others you'd been in the past, I guess. You correct me if I'm wrong. But what does that do for a player like yourself?
No, there was more pressure because obviously you've been brought in to, well, potentially, like any sign, to improve the team and the squad. But it's different because rather than being going more locally, moving from UKSU's across to Welsh Pool, if you're one of the stronger players in the KSU's team who goes to sign for Welsh Pool, you're expected to be that same player in that team and almost be one of the better players, you know, for want of a better way of describing it. Whereas you go into the team at Llanelli, and there's expectation from the fans and obviously the management staff who brought you in, but also you're looking at your fellow players alongside you, and my thoughts were that, you know, I want to fulfil their expectations. You know, I didn't think I was a better player than any of them as such, or a stronger player, or however you want to word it. So I wanted to impress them as much as anything else and justify myself being in their team. And so it was a completely different way to look at how you were playing. But also at the same time, because you've got those strong players around you, you have more confidence in yourself and in your team as well. You go to games expecting to win. And often it would be, what will the score will be today in terms of us winning, rather than just, oh, I wonder how we're on today. You know, there's that expectancy there, not only from the performance individually, but the team, that you're going to win on that day with those kind of players. And you just grow in confidence for that. But yeah, it was definitely a different feeling when you've been sat in that change room. It was almost one of justification for myself, thinking, you know, I've got to play well today because I need to be at the same level, or try and reach the same level as these good players around me.
I guess on the other side of that, you know, there's sort of, if you're in a team, for example, with maybe three or four good players, as opposed to a team with 11, as you sort of described there, you know, do you get more space and time and you know, opportunities to do what you want to do? Because obviously there's more options for the other team to deal with, as opposed to being playing in a team that only has two or three options to score, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think when you do play in a stronger team and you are playing with better players, you do have more time, no question, because they release the ball at different times. They play the ball to you in too strong a feet and in front of you and all these kind of elements that you don't really notice so much until you're actually doing it. So it's obviously no surprise to watch teams like Barcelona and Real Madrid. It looks very easy. You sit there sometimes watching them keeping possession, thinking, well, Liverpool's today as well, but you know, keeping possession, thinking, well, it's all kind of fairly straightforward, isn't it? It's an easy game to play. But then when the other team gets the ball, they can't do the same. And it's very similar, you know, if you play in a strong team, it does make your life easier because you've been given better service, you know, from all over the pitch. So that was noticeably different for me, really. Yeah, it was a pleasure, to be fair, most of the time to, you know, to play with those kind of players.
And you had success there. Obviously, I think you went straight into a European experience when you got there, and you had two or three more European adventures with Kanechi after that. You know, you obviously played Motherwell, and then I forget the team from Lithuania's name, but you played Tbilisi as well in Georgia. Another thing to maybe tick off that list that you might not have expected to do as a young player. What were those like? Especially the first one, but what was it like to have three experiences like that in a row? And at what point did you start to realise how special those experiences were?
Yeah, the first one especially away at Motherwell was my competitive debut for the club. And it was unbelievable, to be fair, especially because of the result. We ended up winning 1-0, but yeah, you know, that was my kind of, we mentioned five moments the other week when we spoke. I sort of discussing with my dad after reflecting on, you know, I asked him what he thought my best five moments were as well. And he mentioned the Motherwell game straight away. And I was like, yeah, of course. That was huge for me at the time, especially because it was my debut for the club. But that's the first time I played in an atmosphere like that with that sort of number of fans and everything else. It was, it sort of made the hair stand up on the back of your neck. But like you mentioned, there's been some other fantastic games that we took part in for Llanelli. And I went on to do so with Aberystwyth as well in Europe, and of course now Bala. But those European games were something that a lot of footballers will never experience, a lot of professional footballers will never experience. So that's a real you know, pull for anyone in the Welsh Premier League. And there'll be players who've played loads of European games through playing in the Welsh Premier who will, you know, will look back on those games with you know, so many fantastic memories. They're unbelievable experiences, and hopefully I've not played my last European fixture. Nice to be some more coming my way.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, your first Welsh Cup win came first or second season. It escapes me. Sorry, but that was another. You know, obviously special to win that competition. But Gary Speed, if I remember correctly, was also the one who presented the medals on the day as well, which must have been a huge moment for you as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like I said, I've been there before and not won the final. We set out that particular year at Llanelli with the goal that we wanted to win the Welsh Cup more so than the league. So it was really, really nice to achieve that. And it was good that obviously I'd not that long arrived at the club the season before, and then obviously to taste success has kind of justified my being right in making the move that I made, sort of thing as well. So yeah, it was fantastic. And like I said, looking back now, the icing on the cake, really being able to collect lift the trophy, having it from Gary Speed, that was a magical moment, that was.
And with that team, obviously the talent it had, obviously you had great success there, but was winning the league something that sort of just escaped you, or is it something you feel like you should have done, or was it not your time as a team, or how do you reflect on that?
It's hard to say. The first season that I signed there, it went down to the very last game, 2009 season, and we had to go to Kristatin and win. We had to score six, and hope that TNS didn't win. And we scored six at Kristatin, and TNS beat Everest for 3-2. I think it was 3-2. So we came really, really close that year. We dropped points, I think, 2 or 3 weeks before the end of the season, away at Connors Quay. And should we not have done that, then yeah, we'd have gone on to win the league, which is as close as I've got. But yeah, I think over the course of the season, I don't think there's any luck. I don't really believe in luck as such, but I don't think there's any luck involved in the fact that TNS did win the league. If you win the league, you deserve to win the league. It's as simple and as clear cut as that for me, to be fair. But it was a shame that we missed out a little bit cruelly on the last day, to be fair. And then from there on in, did we have enough then to win a league as a squad? Yeah, perhaps we did. But for one reason or another, we never actually made it. And that's as close as we challenged us in my first season.
And obviously back to Aberystwyth after that, and success continued to come. You more finals, more European experiences, golden boots as well, quite a few of those. Was that an evolution you sort of expected in your game, to be sort of challenging for those kinds of honours, or do you just think it was natural that you came to that point, or was it a target you set or anything like that?
In terms of the golden boots?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. If you'd have gone back one season before and asked me, would I win a golden boot, I'd have told you no chance. And the way in which that worked out was just that I started playing at Aberystwyth. We decided that we were going to play a certain system. And the first few games in pre-season, I played as the advanced, the attacking midfielder, the number 10, if you like. And then from that point on, then I think I scored 5 or 6 in pre-season, so it was working okay. And then as soon as the season started, then that carried on. And as a team then, the way in which we were playing was working well for us. We were second or third highest scorers in the league for, I think, 3 seasons behind TNS. So, goal scoring was not a problem for us. We were doing well, and the way in which we were set up to play was feeding that. We were just leaking a few too many goals at the other end, really, to really push for top spots, if you like. But, we were top 6 team and competing well. But then, obviously, as soon as I sort of had a taste for goals then, it just continued then. I kept getting chances and kept putting them away, if you like. Once it had started, that was just something I believed in then from that point on. But if you'd have asked me a season before, I would have said, no, it's not possible.
And obviously the Bala project sort of came afterwards. I mean, as fairy tale stories in football go, I think Bala certainly got a few, just from their rise to the point they reached when you joined them. And obviously, a couple of things they did afterwards, which we'll touch on in a minute. But what made you want to, make that move to Bala? Obviously, they'd had a lot of success in those previous years to get to where they had then, but it was still a new project for that level of Welsh football. So what made you think that was the right move?
I think I played against Bala in obviously the season previous to that, one or two seasons before, and the squad was getting stronger. I remember warming up you know, quite clearly warming up for our wristers and looking across and seeing as they were warming up opposite us in the one game, and just looking at the players that they had, thinking, fair squad there. We'd had difficult games against them. And I spoke with Colin a few times as well before signing there just over the years, whilst I was at Blenheathley. You know, he'd mentioned me perhaps going there. Nothing had ever come of it. We just had a few chats and that was the end of that sort of thing. But yeah, it was just one of those decisions that I'd made that I just wanted to, they were the club that I wanted to say yes to, if that makes sense. You've got your heart telling you one thing maybe on certain occasions and your head telling you the other. With this, it was just really what I wanted to do, was to sign for them. I'd obviously had Stuart Jones who'd gone to Bala from Aberystwyth in that pre-season before me, who was one of my best mates, you know, in the game. That definitely had a bearing on my decision as well, because I've played more games with him now, as it turns out, than I have any other player. You know, he was definitely a positive reason for me to go there and continue playing with him, to be fair, as well. So there was a few different factors, but it was just the one that I felt was right for me at the time.
And obviously, I mentioned they'd had a fairy tale rise, I guess, to that point, but one of the biggest fairy tales came soon afterwards, obviously, in winning that Welsh Cup against TNS. Now, you know, I don't mind saying, it's probably one of my favourite days in Welsh football as a fan and as someone who worked on it and everything like that. Because I remember the week building up to it, you know, I came to training, I think, to speak to Colin, and I think it was yourself and Jordan Evans as well that I spoke to for a piece. And, you know, I saw all the stuff on social media about you guys going around the schools, trying to get the kids involved and excited and all this stuff. And then obviously the way the final went was magical, really. I think that's why everyone loves football for experiences and you know, matches like that. Not, doesn't matter who's in it, but just to see that sort of, you know, underdog story, I guess, come from behind and to win the competition. But what does that day and that whole experience mean to you? Where does that rank in terms of, you know, everything you've done? And can you take me through even, you know, what you remember of the experience?
Yeah, it ranks really highly. It's one of my top moments in football, without a doubt. Earlier in the season, I've been made captain at Bala, which Colin had asked, you know, would I like to be, or, you know, would I do that? And I was a little bit apprehensive because I'd only just signed for the club, and I sort of felt a little bit like that I wanted to earn the captaincy, if that makes sense. And I didn't want players thinking, you know, it was just come in, just been signed and already made captain, what about me type thing. So I was a little bit anxious about, you know, taking that role just on the basis of, like I said, I've just arrived. But the Bala TNS sort of rivalry that had been sort of escalating from Bala point of view, because we'd gone 28, 29 games without beating TNS, never beating them. So we were on the sort of run up to the final, and then we were playing TNS. I don't know, it just felt like the biggest, the largest hurdle of all, because never beating them, you know, the best side of the league, they're notoriously hard to play against, and no matter what day it is or where you are. I'd obviously lost to them on a personal note before in a final as well with Aberystwyth. So you just kind of thought, we could do with playing someone else here, really, to be fair. But like you said, from a fairy tale perspective, you know, if we were to go beat them, then that's the best team to beat in the final, because you're sort of your underdogs. So we kind of discussed that in the build-up to the game. We trained, obviously, before it in the week, and we all had a bit of a sit-down together, and everyone just sort of said their piece, really. Only the ones who wanted to, you know, to say certain things, but we just sort of all had to chip in with what our thoughts were about the final coming up in a few days' time. And we were quite clear with what we planned in terms of how we were going to play against them, and we were clear on what we believed we needed to do. So when we arrived there on the day of the final, there was no real surprises. We knew what to expect. We kind of discussed it beforehand, what we were going to do. And it was just about going out there and sort of executing the plan, really. And we knew we were probably going to need things to go our way on the day in order to beat them. You know, they would have to have not an off day, but we would have to be 10 out of 10, you know, for most players. And our plan to be carried out exactly as we discussed, you know, in order to win the game. And obviously the rest is history, and it worked for us. There were times during the game where we probably did hang on a little bit, but that's the same in any game you play against TNS. They're a good side, and obviously they're full time. There's no hiding the fact that you have to beat them. They're going to have chances, and we've got to be hopeful that we defend well and that they don't score. But yeah, for it to come to finish the way it did, and the goals late on, and to win the game was just, it puts the hairs on the back of my neck. You know, standing up now, just thinking about how I wish I could go back to that day and hear the final whistle again and relive it all. It was fantastic.
And in terms of the club as well, every club is special, and you know the volunteers that make them all keep going, and you know the people behind the scenes who do so much to make these clubs what they are, they all deserve immense credit. But in Bala especially, I mean, you know, there's such a tight knit group of people behind the scenes that are keeping that club going, and to see the way they felt after the match as well must have been special for you, to see what you guys had achieved on the pitch had done for those people who've given so much time to get the club to where it was.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned that, you know, there are hardworking people at every club, to be fair. They really are. But at Bala, they are really unique. It's a smaller group than any of the other clubs I've played for, perhaps with the exception of Welsh Ball. But it's such a small, tight-knit group of people at Bala who work so hard. I see it more now because I've been there longer and I know them better, and I've got, you know, better relationships with them. When we won the Welsh Cup, obviously I was just, you know, nearly a season in, but now I know them so much better. It's I wish we could do it now as well, because it'd be more sweet, even more so now that I know them better. But it was a real great moment for them as much as anything, and it really does feel like we're winning it together, to be fair. And that's more so than any other club I've been at. You know, it's a real family club at Bala. We're looked after exceptionally well, I must say. I've got, you know, an immense amount of admiration for everyone that's involved there. There's some great friends there now, and it'll be a club which will always be, close to my heart now.
And you're 34 now. I mean, we've pretty much done everything there is to do. I mean, what's left for Chris Venables to achieve?
There's the league. Winning the league is the only thing left. You know? That would be something that I want to do. And that would be the main thing in terms of the cups that I've won and European appearances and all that sort of thing. Just to keep playing. I enjoy immensely just walking in the changing room, seeing the boys. And I enjoy playing football now more than I've ever enjoyed it. So I just want to keep playing, really, and keep enjoying it. And like I said, those people there at Bala, lads in the team who I play with, who haven't won things and want to achieve things, go on to achieve bigger and better things in football. If I could be a part of helping them along with that, that would be great.
177 goals, I think it is, that you're up to now as well. Any favourites?
My Welsh Cup final goal for the Netherlands. We scored the fourth goal against Bangor. That was good. That sort of at that time, at 3-1, they get a goal. There's probably 20 minutes then of a tight game. Might have just thrown the way the game was going, but to score the fourth and put us 4-1 up, that was sort of game done then. That was a great feeling. And other favourites then. There's been plenty. I scored a hat-trick on my on the final day of the season against Bangor. So all three of them goals, it won me my third golden boot, all three of them goals are favourites of mine, because I needed those quite desperately at the time. But my best goal was a goal I scored for Welsh Ball away at Kevin Druids. I don't even know, I don't think there is any footage of the goal. I don't think Scorio were covering every game at that point in time, but I just ran over the top of the ball and flicked it through two defenders and then hit it first time. And that was probably the best goal I've ever scored, I think. But not a lot of people, probably only the players in the Welsh Ball team, maybe the odd Kevin Druids defender will remember that one, but you know, that would be my favourite one probably.
We'll have to try and fish that out, I think. We'll have to get in touch with Scorio to see if they've got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in terms of just your records as well, I mean, you know, I think you're seventh in appearances at the moment and joint fifth all-time in goals. I mean, where do you think you'll be by the end of when it's time for it all to be over?
I've no idea. It all depends on if I can stay injury-free, I think, and how fit I can manage to stay, I suppose. I don't know. I've got no plans for any kind of retirement or anything like that. I've also got no plans to play X amount of games or for X amount of seasons either. I'm probably of the mindset at the moment that I think I'll probably, or I've been told and heard that when it's time to finish, you'll know, sort of thing. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm happy and healthy. Like I said, staying injury-free will be a big thing, but I'm enjoying my football. And like I said, I can't wait to walk back in the changing room, really, and see all the lads and just get going again. So I don't know where it'll end up, but we'll have to see. We'll take it one game at a time.
I think you're just behind Mike Wilde in the goal scoring, and you're just ahead of Lee Sermon in the appearances. And I mentioned Lee because obviously you mentioned that you've come across a lot of people that you've become quite close with in football. They say there's no friends in football, but I mean you must have made quite a few friends in your time in the game. I mean that must be quite a special element of your career as well, the relationships that you've built with people across the country.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think that adds to the enjoyment now as well. Like I said, there's probably people in most teams that I've played with or against several times, and they do become friends. Even some of the ones that you have the battles with on the pitch, and you sometimes do fall out with players when you're playing. I've done it loads of times, more so earlier in my career, but there's certain players that you really don't like when you're playing against them, but then you end up great friends when you're in the bar after. So the likes of Cerns that you mentioned there is he's sort of closely following me on appearances, but he's a great guy and an awesome career as well, to be fair. So like I said, hopefully I'll be bumping into him next season and catching up like we normally do will be good.
Well, look, Chris, I've really enjoyed this. I've wanted to do this for ages, so it's been really, really good to sort of get a chance to have a chat and under these conditions of all things, but it's nice to just talk football. I think, you know, we're not doing much of that at the moment, but I'm really grateful to you for finding the time, and obviously I hope everyone continues to stay safe and well, and that we see you on a pitch sooner rather than later and we can get back to football.
No, absolutely. My pleasure talking to you. It's been interesting just to go over a few memories and things, so thanks very much.
No, thanks, Chris. Thank you very much, mate.